Hi, Erin.
Hey, I don't think you realize we start recording immediately you call, which is half the fun.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so we're already live.
We are, which is just fantastic. And you know what? I am looking at you as we speak. I'm looking at Xian Chuan's international bestseller, Power Your Purpose, A Leader's Guide to Creating a Better Life and a Better World. And there is the most beautiful photo of her on the front, and it reminds me of the time I met her and fell in love with her energy.
Oh, the feeling's very much mutual, Erin.
I met Ashan at the Riveter in Bellevue, and we were part of a loving and supportive accountability group that had started off being based on Brené Brown's teachings, and immediately resonated with her. And we started off the conversation with a talk about how we should both have been in Hawaii.
Absolutely. And I still feel that way. So let's hold on to that thought.
Absolutely, especially in a Seattle winter. Xian Chuan is a certified executive coach. She's a leadership facilitator and a mindfulness expert. She helps people find fulfillment and clarity in their lives and their careers. And she's known as the career whisperer, which is just absolutely beautiful. And she's known as that by many Fortune 500 companies. She's helped thousands of people land their dream jobs. She's helped them bring their whole selves to work and realize their potential. There's so much more, and I've got so many things to talk to you about, but I loved your intentionality. Before this podcast, Xian was looking at her book and feeling into what she wanted to talk about during our podcast. And I'd love to start with the book you have just published.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for reading it, Erin, and for being so supportive through this whole process. I just want to share before we begin that I think it's really synchronistic that we're talking because when we met at the Riveter, I think one of your big gifts is really shedding light and creating space for other people to shine. So whether you were sharing a book that you lent me or providing a card, or really just giving your support and encouragement to your other fellow women entrepreneurs and leaders, you really have this great ability to, share us and our gifts to the world. And I saw that in you. And so I think it's just such a wonderful opportunity that now we get to talk about my book and kind of share our co-creative experiences in terms of what we might have experienced during the pandemic and wanting to further branch out into the world. So I think there's a lot of win-win benefits here with us talking, and that this is not accidental at all, and that there's a reason why you're doing so well with these podcasts and finding so many wonderful and brilliant women who want to contribute and share their voice. So just want to thank you for doing this and saying that I do see great value in this platform that you've created and feel honored to be invited here today.
That is so lovely of you to say. And I believe women are the answer to everything. And I've been really looking forward to this because I wanted to reconnect. I've thought of you often, and I've seen the process. I've witnessed some of the process as you've created this book, and it's so wonderful to see it come to fruition. What prompted
Yeah.
you to write the book? Was it the pandemic? How did this book come about?
That's a really good question. So I first started getting signs and suggestions to write this book a few years ago. And that it actually started when I was coaching and consulting as a contractor at Microsoft, and there was a Puerto Rican client, a coachee of mine, who was like, "You know what? I can't stop writing notes. Have you thought about writing a book?" And I realized in our coaching sessions, a lot of information would just flow from me and connect to my clients in a very natural way, where I felt like, okay, I don't know where this information was coming from, but it definitely felt very high level and a gift that I was sharing to others. And so I said, no, I haven't. But she had so much conviction and belief that I thought, okay, maybe I'll think about it, right? But I never really saw myself as a writer or somebody who ever wanted to take on such a big endeavor as writing a book, especially I think the amount of credibility that I believe you need to have. And it just felt like maybe something I'd consider, but it wasn't something that I've decided on. And throughout, the past few years, as my practice evolved and I just felt I've found so much success in sharing out some common themes and the kind of areas that people are looking for support in, I started getting more signs that I really need to provide some sort of guide, like a Bible of a sort, for people to be able to have a really high level place and perspective to get them through transitions and through difficult times, or where they're stuck at a roadblock or crossroads of a sort. And I felt like, from my experience, it's really important to connect with people on a psycho-emotional standpoint, but also to provide the kind of intellectual feedback to say, okay, on a practical basis, where do you start and where do you go from here, and how does it connect back to your work and your personal needs and where you are in life. So I felt like there was a huge need for this book. And then when the pandemic hit, I just was booked out and found like I really need to create a product or a resource that's accessible to everybody, because as wonderful as coaching is, I feel like this is really the time to put together some enlightening stories and messaging and themes that I see in people across the world, in across ages and generations, regardless of their background. We're all needing this kind of support to go through some times of transition that have caused us to evaluate who we are and what we do and what we stand for. And so in short, I've had clients ask me if I've written a book. I've had signs to really just mobilize and to scale what I've known and what I've done to really give to more people in a way that's accessible and positive and enlightening. And when the pandemic hit, having more time on my hands, I felt like I either do it now or never. And it was a great chance to really focus and to focus on what matters long term. I realized if I don't start now, easily when I think enter in another phase of my life, this can be forgotten or postponed. So sometimes when things matter to you, you just got to take it by the horns and say, I'm going to do it. And there's no better way to invest in yourself sometimes than to start hiring help to get a job done, right? So I started having vendors support me or a book consultant. And ultimately, it's when you put money in someone else's pocket that you think, okay, the time started. I've committed to this. I better do it. So that's kind of how I came to bringing this book into fruition and realizing the significance of doing it now.
I also feel that two of the really strong signs you got was when you were interviewed in the Seattle Times, which validated that your message.
Yeah.
Your message would reach many more people if you were able to share it. And then you appeared on King 5 News and you were sharing your thoughts and your processes with 100,000 people. And I think those were really strong signs that you had a message that needed to be communicated.
Yes, you're so right. And I'm grateful you brought that up, because actually before I was featured in those channels, I had signals that came to me, and they say from the universe or just from our subconscious or somewhere, that said, I'm going to be in some large media outlets and my message is going to go out and it's going to come from a very inspirational and positive place. And I had no idea how that was going to happen. I wasn't necessarily set up to intentionally want to do this, but I had those signs months before it happened. And I didn't know how I would come out of it, because honestly, all of us, no matter what kind of business we're in, there was a time when we're like, do we need to pivot? Do we need to downsize? Do we need to change directions? Do we need to keep our head down? We're not really sure. But I knew that I had to just really trust and have faith, because that was the best way out. And shortly after that, I had those signs that I'm going to be really sharing my message. And so, Aaron, you're so on it and spot on when you say that when those opportunities came up, I really thought, yes, this is a great way to get out the message around what I do, but most of all, it's really to provide more positivity and hope in a time where we're just going through a lot of changes and challenges, and people are needing that kind of energy to uplift themselves, right? Or to even just feel like they can be on level ground and have some relief from a lot of the turmoil and the trembling that we're experiencing, for lack of a better word.
We needed to be able to look up. If I only yes. the news, one thing that's kept me going throughout my entire life has been hope.
Yeah.
Hope this or something better, hope. And hope has it's I'm trying to think of a way to say it. It's kept me going when nothing else would. No matter how dark things would get, I always had hope.
Yeah.
You provided a message of hope. May I take you quite some time back? I very much enjoyed the book, and there was particular things about your personal story. I've only worked in corporate really briefly. I'm not aligned to it. I'm not suited to it. And you have some elements that you found challenging there too. But can I take you all the way back to when you were a little girl, and you had a painting, and you made a painting, and you showed it to your mum, who told you it was beautiful. But you also got a message when you showed it to her. Would you be able to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I shared about it just very briefly in my book. So there was a memory I had way back when I was, I don't know how old, maybe 5 or 7 or 10. And I loved drawing and I loved the arts. And it was something that I was just fascinated by and intrigued, but I wouldn't say I was a prodigy of any sort or kind of a professional at that point. It was just something that I enjoyed, and I remembered sharing it with my mom, and I can't remember her exact input, but it did make me believe that, okay, this is not something I should take seriously or something that I should really pursue as a serious pursuit. And so I don't know if it was her tone or maybe just the fear that arose that came from maybe her own background, but that was a message that I took back with me. And so I can't recall exactly what happened after, but I would say that it made an impact at that point.
Well, from there, fast forward, you are holding down very prestigious positions in corporate environments. I know you're from California. Then you went through a thing for the letter S because you ended up in Shanghai, Seattle, and Singapore,
Yes.
not
Right.
necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
And within your corporate, you were very successful in the corporate world, but like many, you'd experience difficult bosses, which is, a very common thing. People don't always have emotional IQ, emotional when they're actually in those positions, and they're not always the best suited for those positions. And that's when you started to be in tune with the fact that as an empath and a highly sensitive person, there are things that just weren't working. Are you able to explain what an empath is and how you noticed it, how you really noticed that you were one?
Yeah, so from my perspective, an empath can be defined by many qualities, but the most immediate ones are someone who is very in tune to the feelings of others and their own feelings, almost where it's like to a high degree. It's like if you were to hear a song, but then the volume is turned up to 10 out of 10. And so you just feel things a lot more deeply, whether it's emotions of others, of your own sounds. You might be more sensitive to emotions as well. And you need more time in general to kind of separate yourself and to have time to recuperate and regenerate. And I think depending on who it is, we all have different degrees of this, right? Very few people might be either on either spectrum, but at least for me as an empath, I could say I define it by needing a lot more downtime to understand my inner life in order to feel like I could be a better person around other people. Also, just being very sensitive, around very charged emotions and negative emotions and energy, and needing to, constantly create a really strong boundary around myself so that I'm stable and not absorbing that from other people. And so, how it came out and how I realized this when I was working in, the corporate life, or at least when I was in Southeast Asia, as you mentioned, Aaron, was when I think I was more affected by other people, just observing and noticing how leadership would affect employees and managers, and how people would either be negatively charged or further motivated by management's directives, and having a lot more thoughts and questions than most people. I think that internal life and being very intuitive and observant allowed me to ask, what is it that would allow my colleague to thrive that I was able to give her that other people, weren't? And it's through my encouragement and through us working together that she was able to receive a promotion and that kind of outstanding spotlight that she previously didn't get because people just didn't see her value. And at the same time, it's just being very bothered by people's words and their lack of consciousness and not knowing how it affects other people. And so I think as an empath, it's partially sometimes seeing that you're absorbing that those kind of reactions and the energy of those around you and being very pensive around, okay, what can really happen and be done to improve the state of the world and the situation in the workplace. And that's really what brought me to evaluate where I wanted to go next and how I really wanted to bring more value and help from that standpoint, you know, rather than necessarily just creating the product and serving it to our customers. It's how can I work on a much more human level to create more sustainable systems that encapsulate humanity and really honor and respect our needs, our wants, our differences, and knowing how to navigate that in the workplace, starting with our own personal individuality and how we operate as human beings.
I think one of your many talents is you help people remember how to connect with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been part of how you were able to help that woman, because I know you care deeply about people and the planet.
Yes.
I'm going to quote something from your book. It's actually page 71, and it was a quote that you put in your book, which really stood out to me. It's by somebody called Jim Quick, and it says,
yeah.
Egg is broken by outside force, life ends. If broken by inside force, life begins. Great things always begin from inside. Why did you pick that quote? It resonated with me because there's been times when I felt very broken by outside forces.
Mm-hmm.
Change my mindset, I have been able to break free. Why did that quote speak to you?
It spoke to me because this quote starts chapter 8, you know, which is called Building a Better Blueprint for Lasting Transformation. It all begins on the inside. And this chapter very much is about, okay, based on where we are in society and where we're at with our in our personal and professional lives, right? The only place that we have to start, that we can start, is actually looking at the blueprint off of which we live. And a blueprint is kind of the ideologies that we run ourselves by and our identities, our belief systems, our conditioning, and what we believe to be possible or not possible. And from that standpoint, it's easy to, you know, point fingers and to put blame on what's not working around us and the chaos around us and the broken systems and whatnot. But ultimately, it's only when there's a shimmer of either hope inside of us or a realization that we've broken down so much that we really need to start anew inside of us, that we're able to recreate and reevaluate how we want to really shift from a core level. And so the reason why I picked this quote is because, as it says, if an egg is broken from the outside force, life ends. And oftentimes, you know, if stress is too high from the external world, right? And that stress is defined by an overwhelming amount of pressure where we don't feel like we have the resources to cope or the will or ability to survive it, then it can be too challenging. And it's easy then for that point for people to go into, you know, a depressive state or into deep contemplation or discontent. But ultimately, I found with clients, as an example, it doesn't matter how much pressure you place on people or kind of what you want to share with them and what you tell them is right or not. It's ultimately up to the person to say, yeah, this is actually the starting point of where I want to begin my change, that they have to really commit to say internally, something needs to change within me. And that kind of commitment and self-realization from within is far greater than what anybody can bring. And so I found that this path, right, the time where people commit and decide something needs to change, it's up to them. That timeline, nobody really has an ability to control or manipulate for somebody else. You might have a child or a spouse or even a colleague, and you might have found you can say what you'd like, but it's really sometimes up to that person, oftentimes up to that person realizing, okay, now I've had enough. Enough is enough. Or something clicks in them, right? That allows them to realize that this something has to change internally. And when that happens, it always will go back to this internal blueprint that I've shared just briefly in my chapter. So that's why I think it's ultimately in our power that in spite of all the outside forces and stresses that people might be experiencing right now, fatigue from the pandemic or changes, that's really up to us internally to create space within ourselves, to create life again, or to reevaluate how we want that to unfold, that the greatest things will really unfold and manifest from that point.
Especially if we want something different.
Yes.
In my experience, a lot of times people that I've worked with have actually transformed their life. It's been because of repercussions. A repercussion
Yeah.
will happen. It could be emotional pain, it could be physical circumstances, it could be outside forces, but suddenly they reach that point where no more, and
Yeah.
they're willing to take the steps to do the work in order to free themselves so that they can have a better life. And I've also found that if I have a message to share, in my case, I may not be the right person to get them a message. They might have to
Yeah.
hear it from somebody else, especially if I'm close to them. Often I'm the last person they need to hear it from. There's that cliche, but it's true. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You and I both believe in the have, do, and be. In my case, when I host a vision workshop, I'm encouraging people to think about what they want to have, think about what they want to do, think about what they want to be. But you have this amazing triangle, and it's a way I'd never thought of it before, where the step one is what you can have, the step two is what you must do, and three is what you will be. Would you explain why they're in that order and what that means?
Yeah, sure. And do you mind just referring to the page number for some of us who might be
Oh,
who listen to this?
absolutely. It's page 77 and it's under Building a Better Blueprint. And if you're listening to this, pause, go to your copy of the book, jump onto page 77, and you can see exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I'm on there and I'll just explain. This is a great chapter. It's actually called Building a Better Blueprint, right? And this goes to the core of what we're talking about earlier. So this is a three-step process, one, two, three, in the form of a pyramid to really help people dig deep. Oftentimes, we're all very clear in terms of what's not working for us, but we don't always have the space to outline what's better or how to navigate that, right? So I say step one, let's just first talk about what you can have or what you want. And oftentimes this is a materialized form of your inner joy, your freedom, your passion, and your creativity. So for example, this could be your new dream job, a job transition. This could be establishing better public speaking abilities, being a better partner or family member, improving your relationships, having more free time, more clients. We're making the world a better place to become more equitable and sustainable. So these are all things in terms of deciding what you want. So a lot of people know what they want, whereas some people are afraid to say, I'm going to commit to this because they're not sure if they're going to have it. So step one is just being very clear on what do you want to have manifest in your outer world, things that you're going to see or fear, feel or experience that you think will really add value to your life. And step two is important to say, okay, what do you really need to do to get there? And what is the process that's going to allow you to lead to your desired outcome? And this is looking at the systems that will allow you to get to what you want, right? In order to experience greater joy, freedom, passion, or creativity, for that to materialize, we've got to really look at our internal paradigms, our systems, or even our actions and behaviors to say, what are we committing to or going to shift internally to allow this to come true? For some people, they believe, okay, I just need to relax and receive and allow that to happen. And that can absolutely be something you need to do. For others, this might look like going through a transition, right? Like evaluating what's next in their journey, whether it's in their professional role or even in their own business focus. It might be, okay, I really need to improve my workplace relationships. I need to grow my brand and myself personally and professionally to really stand up for who I am and what I believe in. It might be developing your vision, right? Developing your intuition and your wisdom, or going through a challenge or conflict. But ultimately, all these things that people list that they know they need to do to achieve what they want, it's about transcending some sort of fear. and growing your self-belief or your self-worth to be able to face a conflict and navigate a difficult choice. Ultimately, it's when we're able to move through some sort of stuck area, right? Like an emotional area that's holding us back or that makes it feel like it's more work than we can do. It requires more time that we have. That's when you know it's something that you really want to evaluate and look at. So I always like to have my clients say, okay, what do you need to do to get to that place? But ultimately, what is kind of like the psycho-emotional, physical aspect of it that you also need to do, whether it's committing yourself physically to showing up and creating time for it, or it might be going through the trauma of uncertainty and instability of making that choice. So step two is just very clear on what do I have to do on multiple levels to build that kind of life or that outcome or that feeling of freedom and creativity that I long for in the next stage. And ultimately, three is about feeling and embodying. So you know what you want and you know what you need to do to get there. But ultimately, this is sometimes the hardest place, right? Like a lot of my colleagues, friends, clients, we know how to work hard and to face something uncomfortable, and we might be already turning our wheels and spinning all cylinders, but sometimes it's really relaxing and embodying the person that you have to become to allow for these steps to feel more natural, to allow for these behaviors to feel like an extension of who you really are. And sometimes the hardest part is when, you know, we know we need to make a change, but it feels like it's so difficult to get ourselves to do that thing or to know what to do, that this is where it really needs to happen, is at the core, right? Is at the core of evaluating what needs to be felt within your embodied self to make everything that you want to do and to have feel like it's just an extension of who you are, right? Like if you look at yourself in 5 years and everything has happened and materialized, are you really pushing and persisting and finding yourself having to, you know, give 200%? And at some point, if you are just in maintain mode and things are running, ask yourself, how are you changing and evolved as a human being where you've kind of already evolved and learned a lot of these lessons that you're going through, where naturally you are doing those things and you have those outcomes? And so I say in step three, examples of what you'll be and what you want to embody are feelings of emotional freedom, healing, knowing that you're a limitless, giving and loving being with a purpose and talent in this world. You're courageous and joyful and self-compassionate and generous. You know when to retreat and rest and tap into your creative nature while feeling free and safe to share all that you are into the world in your truest form. You're at peace with yourself and with others. And you share love for yourself and others, connecting, loving the connection that is all between us. You know what's good and what's not for yourself. You know what fills your energy versus what doesn't. And in general, you're just being an intentional creative force for good. You are being in line with your inner desires and accepting of areas that you've had to really, you know, look at your shadow self. You feel whole. So being is feeling whole and evaluating how can you really integrate parts of yourself to evolve and to grow so that you feel stronger and more sustainable to do the things you do want to do and to have the things that you desire and you deserve.
Oh, through listening to this, I was just thinking we need more leaders like this because not only will they create a better life for themselves, as it says in your book, but they'll also create a better world. One of the things that really makes you stand out to me as a holistic and intuitive and empathetic executive coach is you blend neuro-linguistic programming with positive psychology and behavioral change. And I forgot to ask you, would you please explain what neuro-linguistic programming is?
Yes. So neuro-linguistic programming is the study of our behaviors, our communication, and how our brain works and operates. So basically, with kind of any reaction, the way we perceive information, experiences is part of our conditioning. We naturally, in our brain circuits, will kind of go down the most, the path of least resistance. It's through patterning that we have habits and patterning for everything, right? It might be the way we react to a challenge, the way we perceive certain experiences, or ways of responding to our relationships. So it's really understanding, okay, how do we, what are some tools in which we can use to shift the chemical responses that we have to certain instances, and how can we understand that those patterns can be rewired so that our behaviors can be a positive extension of what we want versus a reactive response to what's been conditioned in us. And it's really also through the techniques of understanding our communication or word choices and how those are also really deep insights into how we feel and what we believe. So NLP is a combination of these areas, and it really provides wonderful tools to help unpack how we operate, why we operate, and it gives us great ways of restructuring it so we can be more empowered to feel like we can create these outcomes we want rather than being stuck in some of these systems that we feel are just naturally habits or kind of hard to break sometimes.
Wow. In your chapter, From Fear to Empowerment, you say that to enable your clients to become better leaders, you shift their focus, or you actually say we shift their focus, it's a combined effort, from me to we. And there are three stages of that: stabilize and harmonize, become their vision. You had me at the word vision. Maintain their soar. And I love that. That's SOAR, in case you're wondering what, you know, exactly what.
Yeah.
She's not talking about Home Depot. Would you explain what you mean by those three stages? Because it sounds so powerful.
Yeah. So all of my clients, they come to me with desires, right? They want to become a better leader, make a bigger impact. And we all want to do great things for our communities and organizations. But ultimately, I found that helping people through these three steps and stages allowed them to get from where they are to where they want to go. The first step is about stabilizing and harmonizing, right? And so it's sometimes hard to tell somebody, why don't you aim for the sky, when they're just really trying to paddle and to be above water. And so in the first step, it's before we even get to those big dreams and desires, it's like saying, okay, let's really identify where you are today. What are your current symptoms and situation? What are the stories and paradigms or beliefs that are keeping you locked in a recurring pattern? Let's help you to really declare at the root of it what you want instead. And how do we start to help ease off some of the daily stresses that you have? Right. And so that helps. It's utilizing mindfulness tools and stress management tools to help people re-engage from a place of strength and space and safety, to be less in this need to survive the day-to-day mentality. So stabilize and harmonize is, how do we make peace and make good with what you're experiencing? It might be with the amount of work you have, or even just going through a lot of tension and stress that you're experiencing, so that you are strengthening your internal core and foundation and experiencing little wins before you really feel like you can go for the stars, right? And being very honest about what this looks like. And once we have that, people are experiencing wins, like, okay, things are easing. I have solutions for some of my day-to-day challenges and where I want to go. Okay, I have a roadmap. This makes sense. Sure. And then next, it's like, how do we become that vision? And this has to do with embodying who they really want to become. And this involves going deeper. So let's say we've helped you reach your next immediate goal. Your life has stabilized. It's gone from paddling really, really fast to feeling like finally you're able to breathe and step back, right? And it's going deeper to say, how can we really take you to the next level? What are some parts of you that need to be reconnected to, so that we can really help to elevate your ability as a leader, your ability to think far, to connect to your greater vision, to clarify how you really want to show up in the next few years. So becoming your vision is really about embodying who you want to become and feeling like you're really fully supported to do that. And the third step, maintaining your soar, is when you're finally over this defensive stage of, I need to survive, I need to protect myself, I need to really make sure I can stabilize, to I now have access to give to others. In this final stage, my clients already solidify their foundation. Their new learned habits and behaviors are natural. Their new you is driven by a desire to grow. They're calm and open, and they're filled with hope and possibility, and their focus is on giving to others. And in this case, it's about we. You know, they have more time and space to go on vacations. They have a team to support them. They're empowering other people. They no longer feel like they're having to get every single opportunity. They have strong relationships that are filling their cup and giving them a lot of resources. Their stakeholders are aligned. They're relaxed and calm and self-assured. So at this point, they're soaring. You know, I really like to think of this point as, okay, you've done a lot of self-work, you've had a lot of those small wins, and you're at a new stage where you can really think even bigger picture to say, how can I now be in my new embodied self to really allow this new vision to expand and to really soar and to share my gifts and allow other people to really grow it, rather than having yourself to, you know, do all that on your own. So me to we is important, because I feel as we go through this pandemic and through different life stages, initially we might feel like we're really just trying to protect our peace, protect ourselves, defend what we need to, and keep our boundaries. And eventually, being in the we phase, we're supported, we have the space, we have access to give to other people, and we're able to give back in a way that we don't have to be the primary drivers, because other people are part of the extension of our goodness, and we're able to work with other people in a much more collaborative way that benefits the planet.
And we have power to our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much more I want to explore. I'm mindful of your time. One thing you and I both have in common is we very strongly believe in the power of visualization and also nature, like the Japanese tree bathing. Would you talk to me a little bit about those?
Yeah. So did you say the first piece is visualization?
Visualization. And the other thing I noted that I really resonated with was of how healing nature is.
Yeah, so I'll first begin with nature. I discovered the benefits of nature when I had to have my gym shut down and our workplace shut down right where we met. And basically, I was confined to our beautiful living room and four corners of our home. And I wasn't able to see people. And there's a lot of kind of stuck energy in me, right? There's a lot of fear and a need to connect to the world. And so I found a lot of peace by reconnecting with nature. And what I found was when we have the space to really kind of let go of the nonstop ongoing routines and rituals that we have, and they serve a good as well. And this forced me to really be in nature, the only place I could go safely, right? It really shared and showed me the magic of how nature has been able to revitalize my life force. And I don't have to be, you know, dead to appreciate it or super sick, but it might be going for a place to recharge, to feel more creative, to get ideas, to have a vision come to me. And so I found that different pieces of nature would give me different elements of life that I needed. And so, for example, if I was experiencing a lot of negatively charged and fearful emotions from the news and from what we're experiencing in the world, water was a way of calming and releasing and clearing this from my body. Times when I needed to feel nurtured and to feel connected to the earth, I loved walking in the nearby parks and in the forest, and found that the trees had a way of protecting me from the energies out around me, because as an empath, I'm feeling a lot of the trauma, the change, the uncertainty, and the need for people to feel safety as well as free, right, during this time. And so being in the trees provided a deep sense of peace, you know, to self-reflect and to just separate myself from all the chaos. And so, you know, regardless of what piece of nature it is, I found so much magic that nature was able to speak to me and give me a lot of messages that I wasn't able to figure out when I'm staring at a screen or staring at my phone or just trying too hard. And there are times, you know, when we don't have access to the nature and we're really just at home or in a place where we can't go out, right? And that's where I found that visualization was so powerful, Erin, because when I came back from Hawaii a few years ago and I was so connected to the land there and to my experience, I wasn't able to go back right away, but I found that visualizing your experiences and that emotional charge from your memory is able to bring back the physiological experience that my body had when I was in that place. And so, depending on how strong that memory is, right? If you can bring that piece back, you actually can put your body subconsciously through the same experience without being there. You don't need to say, I'm there to experience those experiences. And so, this is where meditation is very strong and helpful, or visualization is really tapping into all your senses and bringing it to life so that your body, your psycho-emotional, physical body can go through the benefits of nature without even physically being there. And that's been a really beneficial practice for me, especially during the times when I only have 5 minutes in my day or 10 minutes to take a break and I just can't, you know, hop to Hawaii or go to the park. Yeah.
Over teleportation that we could
Yes, working on that.
but to reiterate what you said, when we immerse ourselves by visualizing a situation where we are connected to spirit, where we do feel at peace, it soothes our whole nervous system. I have one more point I want to bring up, but I forgot to mention, if you want to ignite your light, if you're ready to ignite your soul and tap into your intuition and find more fulfillment and live your purpose, start by turning fear or doubt into actionable solutions. Go to xianchuan.com. I'm going to spell that. So pause, get a pen and paper. Xianchuan. And you'll also find information about her book, which is Power Your Purpose, A Leader's Guide to Creating a Better Life and a Better World. The information about that is available. And within that book, we haven't had time to go into it today, but you will learn about her aligned method. Six steps that will help you get into alignment and become the leader that you know you can be and that you want to be. And she'll also cover the law of resonance, how to build habits and rituals that will get you where you want to go, and how to detach but still have faith, which detaching with love, detaching and have faith is such a powerful, it's been such a powerful tool in my life. But I did have one more question.
Yeah.
What is a lofty question? I could cheat and just read it off page 170, but I'd love it if you explained it.
Yeah, sure. So a lofty question is, first of all, a lot of times when we're stuck or going through a challenge, it's really easy for us to go to the negative, right? So it's like, why is it, does it always take forever for me to reach my goals? Or why are people always this way? Or why do I always run into the same challenge or situation? So instead, it's being able to be cognizant of the question that you ask, because your mind will always try to answer it. So we can almost, I don't want to say outsmart ourselves, but instead of saying, why is it always my fault? Why am I always struggling? It's saying, what, how can you strategically ask a question that can reframe and rewire how you answer it. Your mind will always try to answer every question that you ask, right? So if we ask a question that is already pointing to a negative, we're going to keep going down that hole. So in this process, instead, you want to turn a goal you have or what you'd like to believe into a question when you're in a relaxed, peaceful state, right? Not when you're in a troubleshooting state. And see what answers will come. This is a great exercise when, for example, you are not sure of the answer, right? Like you might say, why am I so good at putting my ideas in action? Or you put something that you feel like you'd want to be good at, but you don't have the answer for. If you write that question out, your mind will naturally want to find the answer. If it doesn't know it immediately, you just put that question out. You might look at it the next day. You might look at it when you're relaxed, and you're going to naturally attract and come up with an answer with everything that you have. So, a few examples that I have in this book that are just helpful and maybe generic for most people is a lofty question might sound like, why is the world such an abundant and giving place?
Love it.
Why am I so good at putting my ideas into action? And how does my courage enable me to speak my truth?
Ask better questions.
That's it.
That is wonderful. I'm going to spend some time this afternoon asking myself some positive and affirming questions that will help me tap into my inner wisdom.
I think you're naturally really good at that, Erin. You can even lead this process.
That is a compliment coming from you. Shian is one of Microsoft's. She's been voted one of Microsoft's top coaches. And one thing I love about her is obviously she's an incredible speaker. She will speak at companies about banishing burnout, unleashing potential, creating space to succeed, finding authentic voices, becoming an influencer. But she also, this is one of your wonderfully pragmatic things that's just slipped into your website. Great website, by the way. You
Thank
will
you.
Get a return of income. As an executive coach, Shian is eminently pragmatic, and you will get a return on income on your investing. And I've found that true every single time. If I invest with the right coach, abundance has manifested. I have always made the money back.
Yeah, I think, you know, your self-value and worth is always the root of what you get in return. And we bring back as much as we can put together our purpose and our strength and our skills with our belief systems. It naturally will come back. And so I just really love seeing my clients put themselves out there fully and seeing what they're capable of and really believing that cause, right, of greater change, being that force for goodwill. So I think financial return is just one piece, but right, an important indicator of just the work that we're putting out there and believing that we deserve it, that it is important and it matters.
Yeah, I believe getting return on investment, for want of a better way of putting it, is it validates your self-care, it validates that you are being of service, and it validates that you are in alignment, that you are doing what you're supposed to be.
Yep, and believing that there's enough for all of us out there. So
here's to
we
abundance.
Can all win together.
We, going from me to we. Shian, thank you so much. I want to book another time to catch up.
I would love that.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you coming on today. I could have talked to you for hours and hours, and I'm mindful of people listening, and I'm mindful of appointments we both have. And I could spend all day talking to you, which would be a lovely podcast in itself. But thank you so much for coming on today. You can also find Shian's book on Amazon, but I suggest going straight to her site because it is so beautiful and it has so many great resources, and it tells her story. Thank you again, Shian.
Thank you so much, Erin. It was so much fun, a pleasure. And I know we've been meaning to do this, and I'm just so pleased and I'm grateful that we've been able to have this conversation. And the day after Thanksgiving, I think there's no better way to wrap up gratitude and giving back to ourselves than having this conversation to help other people.
And it always happens at exactly the right time. And I felt my energy shift to a much more peaceful place while talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin.
Bye.
Bye.